There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Howdy.
And Dan Durkin.
Hello.
For a mixed up Xbox predictions podcast, because JB's ill. Boy's not been in all week.
He's sick.
He's not doing very well. Wishing a speedy recovery. Hopefully he's back soon. But we thought, why not put together various predictions, talk about the leaks and rumors, etc., that are doing the rounds for the Xbox showcase. And I think it's interesting here because Xbox's own Aaron Greenberg has tweeted, getting the digs in against PlayStation, against Sony, by literally tweeting saying they'll only be showing gameplay and they won't have any movie trailers, which is a direct reference to the PlayStation showcase and how CG heavy that was, and how that didn't go down very well.
It wasn't very good, was it? I mean, apart from Spider-Man, in my opinion.
And Alan Wake 2, Dan Durkin.
Yeah. I've never played the first one.
Oh, you need to get on that.
But this is Xbox. This is my jam. It's my main console. So.
That's the thing. It's worth saying that all three of us grew up with Xbox. We all had the originals, as far as I know, and then we all went 360. We followed it a long time. So I think if you talk about, you know, some of the announcements, we do have a lot of things to get to that would wow all of us. They are coming from a place of love for the brand, for the franchise, for the Xbox.
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning the thing from Aaron Greenberg as a framing, because it means that if they are literally only showing gameplay, at least that's for first party stuff they've said, it means that you then couldn't have Elder Scrolls 6 gameplay or something like that. So, third parties might still have logo reveals and stuff like that, but as far as first party is concerned, they're only showing gameplay. Let's break some stuff down. So, I think we'll open on, for the podcast, Fable, because that's one of the only games that they've directly teased over on Twitter. From the official Xbox account, just literally showed a house full of glitter and following it to it.
Had the music too.
To the music, had the logo on the TV and everything. Where do you guys come down on Fable? You and your fan?
I played the first three. Mm-hmm. I like the first a lot. I like the second.
I love
the third. The third just kind of left me in a funk.
Three kind of killed it for a while.
I'm with you on that.
After all that chicken chasing, you mean everyone's dead? And it took, like, I was like, what am I doing here? Like, I've ruined everything. Like, no one's around. Stephen Fry's stolen all my money. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I meant to do? But I think, you know, as someone who hasn't had an Xbox for a while now, like, mm-hmm. I made the switch across consoles, and the great leap of 2013.
I think a lot of people make that leap.
Where they went to the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Fable's always been struck me as one of the, like, that should be a tentpole franchise for Microsoft. Yes. Like, it's a great fantasy IP. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why, despite, you know, the whole Molyneux controversies and, like, how, you know, the false promises and the, you know, whatever, the ambition of Fable has never really been, you know, what it's achieved. Mm-hmm. It's still wild to me that it's taken this long for, you know, we're getting a new installment. I think we had one false start before with the...
It's worth mentioning Fable Legends was playable. Like, our own Jules Gill played Fable Legends at an event on the year just before it was meant to be coming out, and then it was all canned last minute and no one knows why and whatever with that. So, they were pretty far along beforehand. Dirkin, would Fable entice you?
So yeah, I played the first two. I played the third one a little bit, and I didn't really gel with it. But I just think is Fable the system seller?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because I think we're going to talk about Gears in a bit as well, and I think they have these like old IPs that used to be. They used to be like the lifeblood of the brand, and they're kind of not anymore.
It's crazy, because yeah. I feel like if Fable had been like a consistent release, like not an annual release, obviously, but if it had maintained a regular presence on Xbox past Fable 3, you probably would have developed, you know, an embedded like franchise love. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like there is no Fable fan. At least Gears has had like multiple installments. I mean, yeah. Halo, for all you can say about how the quality of those sequels has diminished, you know, that is still a thing that exists. Uh-huh. It's still in everyone's conscious. You've got a whole new generation of people who love games now who probably like Fable. What's that?
Well, I guess that's the weird thing of like reintroducing it to everybody, because Fable had such an identity that was so Peter Molyneux, was so Lionhead Games, and was so ruddy bloody English. And it's like, I know that they've given it...
War, Chicken Chaser!
And so they've given it to, I forget what you call the team now, who makes Forza stuff, but it's like, it's the Forza devs. And it's like, they've not done a game like this before, the Forza Horizon devs, rather. And it's interesting seeing how they'll sort of put it together.
They're UK-based as well, aren't
they? Exactly. Yeah. So it's like they're from like Spittle Tongues or something. I forget where they're from. Is that up the road?
That's in Newcastle.
Maybe it's something like Leamington Spa. Maybe it's that. Some weird name that only we would come up with as the name of a place. But either way, yes, they're very UK-based.
From Game Bobbington.
Did you guys ever play the Xbox Live Arcade game, the Fable one? It was like a chibi-style
The minigame thing.
Yeah, it was like, this a fever dream of mine? Like, imagine this.
Like, you know, I'm just kind of being sucked back into that Xbox Live Avatar era where we're all...
The best era.
Because I'm thinking of, what was it, Kingdom for Keflings or something?
Right.
That's what my mind conjures.
What are we going to do now? Doritos Crash Course?
Yeah.
Do Sneak King. Bring that back.
If they do Doritos Crash Course in 4K.
Are they going to announce a new Sneak King at...
I mean, you might as well at this point. You might as well cast as many necks as possible.
Glorious return.
I would take that.
I would take that.
Burger King skin.
It's a good deal. I take that deal every day.
Yeah. But yeah, Fable overall, though, has potential.
The thing with Fable is, do you think that humor will land now? Like,
I think there's a way to do it. It does feel old, though. It feels very Monty Python.
Yeah.
Like, there's not many contemporary examples of it.
Given how much like Americans love to make fun of like English speak on Twitter, I feel like we could be in a Fable renaissance. Imagine the amount of dialogue that would come along and be like, oh, you bloody chicken chaser, you. And then someone's there typing it all like badly and then having a picture of someone with terrible teeth. That's a cultural moment waiting to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well. Like Street Fighter VI's British stage has like a little pub and a dude with a massive top hat and a big mustache. So it's like, that's just us on the global stage. So why not? But overall, yeah, that's the thing. I think because of how heavily they've teased it, either they'll open on that and get it out of the way, quote unquote, and then go in and then be like, oh, you guys think you've seen everything, here's everything else, or it'll be what they end on. Next big umbrella topic, though, is Bethesda and Obsidian and Avowed and just what they do with Bethesda. Obviously, there is already a Starfield announcement, Starfield Showcase, as a separate thing. So it's like, do they do anything for their main showcase as a way to tease the full thing? But where are you guys at on Starfield in general?
Starfield, I'm excited for. Again, is it the system seller? Because like, it's also coming out on PC as well.
Kind of needs to be.
This is the thing. Like, it's a Bethesda game, so it's probably going to launch broken. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, but yeah, it's Fallout in space, which piques my interest.
It's interesting because like, I feel like if Microsoft had bought Bethesda like 10 years ago. In the aftermath of this of Skyrim, I'd have been like, well, I can't abandon Xbox now because they have, you know, I love Skyrim. I'm down for more Fallout. I could imagine them shepherding those franchises really well. But as someone who loves those games and has been on the PlayStation train for a while now, Starfield isn't like a system seller. It's weird to me. Like, I feel like maybe a Fallout New Vegas remaster or something would be.
Well, see, I originally had this down until, I mean, I guess that's the thing, because they've said first party has to be gameplay, they couldn't, even if it was real, which I don't necessarily think it is, they couldn't, you know, mention a New Vegas 2 because they wouldn't have any gameplay to put with it. But they have bought up all the dudes from Bethesda, from Obsidian, so they now have that staff pool to do a New Vegas 2 in the most authentic way possible.
But it's just,
at some point.
I mean, I would, that's the main thing, because the other thing I was going to say is that I hated Fallout 4.
Right.
Absolutely despised
I think everyone
Fallout
did. It's not
4.
That bad.
Oh, no, I really... Like, that was so antithetical to Bethesda's role-playing tenets that they established with, like, Fallout 3 and Skyrim and Oblivion. And I've not seen, like, they haven't shown enough of Starfield to make me go, maybe they've learned the mistakes of Fallout 4 in a different... I mean, if this is the game, this should be the game that makes me go, I am missing out by not having an Xbox.
Well,
so far, I'm still not feeling that.
Yeah, they've said, like, you know, I forget the number they put on it, but it has so many billions of planets. It's a No Man's Sky type pitch, and it's what Mass Effect Andromeda was going to be. Like, this, like, big procedurally generated universe that is then tinkered with and made authored over time or whatever. And, like, yeah, that sort of split of, like, how... character-based is it going to be, or is it going to be completely open, like how No Man's Sky
is? That's a little bit of a red flag for me, the sort of procedurally generated thing, because hopefully you've got these like curated experiences and stuff
you're
like that.
You're going to get people loading into floors and stuff. Oh, come across a
if they make a whole planet of just T-posers, and it's like, this is what we do here. This is just our entire race.
This is T-Poseville.
Yeah.
just join in. A bug planet, and it's like, oh, we're all buggy here, but that's how it's meant to be.
My legs are over there.
Isn't that so funny?
Seeing that the success of like Xbox is on Starfield, like if Starfield fails, that's it, it's all over. Like, do you buy into that like sentiment?
I'll tell you what, like, I not necessarily, because I think there's so much money riding on them and everything else, but I mean, obviously the interviews that Phil Spencer's been doing addressing the period between 2013 and the start of the Xbox series systems, and just saying like Microsoft were considering canning the whole Xbox brand, and you know, they've built all this stuff with Game Pass and everything else, and the most recent interview that he did on Kind of Funny, where he was like, that's just what we are now, we're in third place, we're embracing it, etc. And if you look at the sales data, it was like for Jedi Survivor, it was like 87%, I think it was UK box sales were on PS5.
Oh, wow.
And it was like Xbox was like 13% or something.
Wow.
So it's like...
I was one of the 13%.
Flying the flag.
Dan, like Spider-Man holding the wreckage.
I've not even played it properly because I was just getting like terrible.
I mean, it's still buggy as hell, but like, but still, that wasn't the only game as well. There was a couple of others that have released recently that have just massive, you know, the market is favoring PlayStation, whether it be PS5 or PS4, which is interesting. But yeah, Starfield is massively important. I think it's like, but again, Spencer was like, oh, it's not going to be an 11 out of 10. It's not going to be this big system seller. It's just going to kind of be there.
I don't know why he's got this like thought in his head that, oh, we can't compete, we're the underdog and all this. Like, just make good games.
Well, I think...
Go out and say it. If you're going to do Starfield, you've got Bethesda, who are one of the most acclaimed RPG developers, like, going.
If not the most acclaimed Western...
Go out and back them. Like, don't overhype it, but, like, have confidence in your stuff.
He's walking such a fine line, and there's so many laser beams around him as well in terms of the amount of ongoing legal stuff where they can't play too big a card because that's their whole play against Sony. Is like, we're just little old Microsoft.
I might not be a big city lawyer.
I just want some games. I don't know. And so, yeah, so they're trying to sort of like do all that. It's all very public facing and everything. But yeah, overall, like with Starfield, I think like, you know, the controller's kind of leaked online. I think they're doing a big merch push. Like, they do need it to be a big deal. But also it's kind of funny because obviously Bethesda's reputation, like you said, Dan, they're not known for polished games. And in the shadow of Redfall, they cannot have another first party game that is in a state. And I know that internally it was delayed for polish, but like, is it that much polish? Is there still going to be something wrong with it? Whatever. Like, my gut says yeah, because it's Bethesda, but...
Oh, we're going to get this another apology letter after the fact.
Apology.jpg.
Yeah, we're so sorry.
We're sorry for putting Gollum in Starfield. We've heard your concerns about Gollum.
Hey, I tell you what, that would save Gollum in his little helmet. Gollum. And you get a little Gollum ship.
Gollum Starfield crossover.
I would take that. That would save that. But yeah, overall, you know, we're mentioning Bethesda and everything, and Obsidian. Obsidian's main game is Avowed. That was one of the first things that they mentioned, which was kind of like, it was a CG trailer, but it was made to look like gameplay. Yeah. As far as I know. And so yeah, like, assumedly they have something ready to show.
They've
like,
got to have something. Yeah, for
it's Obsidian are like flying as well. Like, a lot of their smaller teams have helped with like you know, a bunch of other games. I'm pretty sure Pentiment was made by some of the staff from there as well. So it's like they've been given the freedom to sort of do all these other games and put them out on Game Pass. But yeah, Avowed feels like the stepping stone to get to the Elder Scrolls or whatever the next big first person RPG.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think they'd show both that and Elder Scrolls at the same time because it's kind of like conflicting.
Mm-hmm. True. I mean, yeah, they kind of need to manage that whole thing in terms of the different like genre boxes they're ticking or whatever. I want to talk about Shadow Drops because I feel like this, when Hi-Fi Rush dropped earlier in the year, that was such a good indicator of like, okay, you have the Game Pass model, you have like, it's like 20 million subs or whatever it is, people who have Game Pass subscriptions. Shadow Drops should be your thing. Like, you should be the opposite of the long drawn out hype cycle. You should be holding all your cards close to your chest, like what Rockstar do, and then just go, hey, by the way, this thing that looks incredible, it's available right now, and you already have Game Pass, so just go play it. And I love love that feeling when Hi-Fi Rush drops, and I feel like if they embraced that, that would be their counter to the big sort of long drawn out AAA marketing cycles that PlayStation do. So like, I hope something gets shadow dropped. Dirk, and you wrote down Replaced, which is like a really cool looking 2D.
It looks so good.
Yeah, like HD TV thing.
So good.
It's like a like an awesome like cyberpunk style game, which a lot of people might not know by name, but if you look at the trailer, it probably did leave a mark from previous showcases. What do you guys think of like shadow drops in general? Would it be something that you would be excited by?
I'm a big fan because long drawn out hype cycles, I'm kind of like, oh, I can get excited for it. And then the more I see of it, the more anxiety slips in. Whereas if they just announced it yesterday, like literally today, I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. I'm going to get it. And then maybe it will paper over some of the mild disappointment I could. But yeah, no, it's great. It's because you're discovering it with everyone at the same time.
Yeah.
I enjoy that aspect to it a lot.
Same. I think for me, it's like I said, we have such a weird relationship with hype, especially in gaming or with entertainment, that you can, I feel like more entities need to experiment with shadow drops. Like it worked a trick with Pokemon Go. And then, I mean, I have random examples for this, but like Avenged Sevenfold's last album, not their most recent one, but their one before that, they just randomly tweeted going, hey guys, a whole new album's there.
I don't know that album.
Me neither, but I think but the idea was there. And so I'm curious about that because like, you know, history dictates that you should build up to something. I like the idea of inverting it.
I think, yeah, I would agree because we talk about so many games that are getting delayed at the minute, which obviously, you know, delays, if you aren't confident to release your game in a sound state with the original release date, absolutely delay it. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I think it was like Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League was revealed in what, 2020?
Yeah, a while ago.
Yeah, 2020. Was it 2020? It was during the first DC fandom, wasn't it? Along with Gotham Knights.
Yeah,
And that game has now been delayed till
next year.
Next year, so
it's not going to save that game.
Like,
is
four that years, no. And that is like that was announced to 5 years after Arkham Knight. So we've been waiting. When that game releases, if it does release next year, that'll have been a 9-year wait for that game.
Oh, yeah, man.
So any excitement you could have built up from the momentum of Arkham Knight, you're now kind of like, ugh. Whereas if maybe Rocksteady had been in the dark this entire time, it would have been a bit worrying. It'd be like, is she safe?
What are they doing?
Is she all right? But it would maybe be like, oh, I'm more excited. I mean, I don't like Suicide Squad, the Kill of Justice League as a concept, but maybe I would have been if it was a shadow drop. I'd be like, oh, that's neat.
I think as well,
the big
for that
games,
game.
Though, like, they're not going to do that with the big boy games. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Is anyone still talking about Hi-Fi Rush? Is anyone still playing it?
No, not really. But the thing is, like, I kind of welcome a return to that style of game, like the game that is designed to be finished.
Double A?
I mean, I would say that like, there's a lot of Hi-Fi Rush that is triple A, like that game's animation, the boss fights and everything. Like, it plays beautifully. Like I said, to me, that is another one of their things that Xbox could do really, really well. Games that are designed to be finished that are the opposite of Sony's live service.
You know what? You know what we're missing?
Go on.
The movie tie-in.
We are massively missing the movie
We're
tie-in.
We're missing the movie tie-in. The licensed game just that just exists. Give me five Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles games in the space of 3 years.
Yeah,
I'll buy them all. I'll be that guy. I'll pop up the gaming industry.
I think that would I think if you get the budget right, that would massively work. You've got various teams that are like experimenting with AA stuff, like Ninja Theory with Hellblade or whatever. So it's like that when you mentioned like tie-ins, made me think of like Transformers Devastation because Platinum had that little run in TMNT. I know those games weren't brilliant, but like they came out in quite a quick turnaround. There's probably a way to do that.
Activision ruined it for all of us.
Yeah, it's nearly always the turnaround time or the assumption of like hyper polish that needs to be on everything. But yeah, I like the idea of because you have Game Pass as a backbone, like just putting stuff on there that you'll actually get through. And it's like, if going forward Sony's going to be going all in on live service stuff, then they should remind people that actually we're not going to fleece you. You can finish it. And it doesn't matter if you're not talking about
it
in 3 months.
Speaking of Game Pass as well, though, it's been rather weak lately.
Oh, dude, like, yeah, it's dropped royal.
I hope we get some good like third-party stuff on a Game Pass like to make it worthwhile because it's been lacking recently.
They had like a weird moment when Lord of the Rings Gollum, like obviously it was doing the rounds, the reviews and everything.
But Gollum was on Game Pass.
No.
But
it was, they could have totally marketed hashtag Golem Pass, but that was on their release graphic for games coming to Xbox. But then it was like a big old, like, you know, a tile set of all these various games.
Yeah.
Golem was on there, but it wasn't on Game Pass. And like, obviously, that was like just before everyone realized how terrible that thing was. But in the moment, it did raise eyebrows. I was like, oh, cool, I'll maybe check out that. But actually, no, it's not on there. So they kind of need to, if their whole point is only spend £5, £10 and play for a month or two, then they need to start getting those third party ones.
I'm curious to see the long term end result for Game Pass. Because obviously it is the big success story for Xbox's last two generations. But I am curious, as more and more people are growing conscious of like the fact that they don't own as much as they used to, and if Game Pass's library diminishes in quality on a regular basis, will that be enough to cause consternation? Because, like, I know for me personally, I've, from a movie's perspective, I've gone completely away from streaming. I'm now back into my physical media. And this, with games, it was like the fact that Xbox was leading further into that streaming element that put me off even more. Mm. Even though it represents good value for money, in my brain, I was like, well, I'm just paying to not own things, right, weirdly. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm curious to see, like, I don't know, where do you guys sit on the future of Game Pass?
If they keep the hits coming, I think it's fine. But, like, so every month they take games away, and this month was, like, quite a hard month. They've took loads of stuff off, and, like, I'm playing Serious Sam 4. Like, I started it, and they're like, oh, we're taking it off this month. So I'm like, oh, I've got to rush to finish it now. Like,
right.
It was,
I've got to finish Serious Sam.
Yeah, it was, like, one of those games where it's just turn your brain off and just shoot things, and it was like, I started it, and I'm like, I want to play it, just, you know, and I feel that, like, if I had owned Serious Sam 4, I wouldn't have to rush to play it. But then again, I never
bought it. Then you'd also own Serious Sam 4.
Yeah, I would have never have bought it anyway. So it's kind of like the catch-22.
But that's the weirdest thing to propose as a value proposition, to say these games that you wouldn't have bought anyway, we'll give you them and then you'll play them. And then hoping that works on a long enough timeline. The ownership thing is a good point. Like, philosophically, the idea that you're not actually building a collection, things can be delisted and everything. I'm always fascinated by it because from the Sony side, there was like a whole thing from Jim Ryan, some insider wrote up this meeting where he'd said that he doesn't consider Game Pass that much of a big deal. It's just sort of ticking over there. And if you look at, like, you know, PlayStation Plus's new tiers, they clearly don't care about competing with Game Pass. Like, there's a few things in there, like they just got NBA 2K23. And every now and then they do a big thing, but their old game offerings are terrible, like, for the most part. Even though I'm loving Pursuit Force from the PSP, now with trophies. But still, most of the things
now
on there.
Trophies.
They should have a little soundbite. But most of the stuff on there, I don't feel like they care about competing. And like you're saying, Dan, like, they've dropped off anyway when it comes to Game Pass. But I think there's ways to capitalize on that, but it depends how much they want to front load it.
It's just the big exclusive, like, on day one. That's the big
selling
point.
Sell, yeah.
But they need to be releasing these exclusives, otherwise what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Which one of Xbox's team said that they were going back on the whole we'll have one major release every year thing, because they clearly can't hit it right now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Halo.
Oh no.
Because
finishing this fight.
They need to finish something with Halo, because Halo's in such a weird state. There was a whole bunch of stuff with 343 had layoffs. Joseph Staten, who was initially brought on to shepherd and get Infinite over the finish line, has now left 343 to work for Netflix, which is kind of funny, but to make some sort of AAA game for Netflix. But Halo itself, it's like
a cursed sentence.
I know, right? It's but Halo itself is like in such a weird state where, like, the Master Chief's like the icon of the Master Chief's helmet is inside every Xbox. It's on the chipsets for the Xbox Series X and the Series S. So he's like in, and he's all over the boxes.
It's on the
as well.
Box, yeah.
So it's like Halo
and
is
the
Xbox.
Master Chief running through my veins.
That's what they want you to think. But they've never really done right by that. And I love the way Infinite played. But it's just that thing of, like, do you mention Halo? Do you say there's updates coming? Do you just
what
leave it alone?
What season is it even on now? Like, remember when it first came out and we were playing it, like, almost every day, yeah? Like, and now it's probably on, like, season 5 or something, and it's just there in the background.
By far the most pointless Battle Pass I've ever bought. Because I got it just being, I'm a Halo fan, I'll just throw money at it, but it didn't give me anything.
Who adores, and I mean, like, Halo 3 up there in my top
All three of us
games.
Worship that original run. Yeah, yeah.
That, like, Halo 1, 2, 3, Reach, ODST, bloody love those games.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I just look across from like the distance over the parapet. I was like, oh, how are you doing, Halo? Pokes it with a stick. Yeah. It's like, I'm dying. I'm a dying live service game with nothing to contribute. Oh, okay.
Like, anyway,
this is really sad.
Infinite ended on a cliffhanger. Mm. Are they going to do story DLC, like with the Endless and all that stuff?
Didn't they say that was cancelled or something? There was a whole, that was in the conversation when Staten left of like the bits they'll still be moving forward with. But yeah, they could do with some wider clarity on just what the living hell Halo Infinite is, because ironically they named it after the idea of it being a long-term service, and it's died faster than any other Halo
such
in history.
A shame.
It's weird, but yeah, I feel like it's worth mentioning Halo, because there's always an assumption of Xbox announcement Halo, but I don't know if they'll actually do it this year.
So again, I'm just a sad man.
Are you the Master Chief?
Halo is a perfect example to me in what happens when you divest from a franchise's core tenets. Like Bungie, the whole appeal of Halo as multiplayer from Bungie for me was that it was this refinedly tuned, balanced, you know, symmetrical gameplay where you could always, if you were better than your opponent and you were less well equipped, you could still find a way
but
to beat them.
But
now it's like everyone has a stupid little power weapon all the time.
He has a jetpack. You can fly now.
And there's sprinting and everything. It's like it was already kind of getting away with that with the armor abilities and reach for me. But I feel like the further Halo goes along, even though it is uniquely Halo, it's becoming just like it's not. It's becoming more and more clear to me that there is no Halo without Bungie.
It's such a shame, right? Because that thing that you just described, that idea of like that identity, that weird sort of identity crisis they had as like Titanfall was coming out and Call of Duty was flying, and they tried to adopt all the aim down sight stuff, and they had all the different armor abilities and the idea of like playing a class. I loved what they did in Infinite, where they reset it all, and it was like class items. You just find them on the map, and like everyone starts the same. And I was like, that's great. Halo Infinite is the best playing Halo. It's just that everything around it is terrible.
There was only like four maps at launch.
Yeah, and it's like, the story was like nothing. Like there was a couple of cool encounters, a couple of cool boss fights, but like very little in there. But I think that engine is like spectacular. It's just that they don't have the know-how to do anything with it. So like, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned Bungie, because they are literally the ones telling Naughty Dog and Sony that The Last of Us, their live service stuff isn't going to work. Like Bungie are the masters of this. And I don't know what the hell you do on the Xbox side, because you don't have anyone even close to a Bungie that could do something like that.
Base either.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with Halo. I'll be amazed if it gets mentioned. Let's talk about Gears of War. They used to always be mentioned in the same sort of, the same space. There is mention of a Phoenix collection or a Gears of War collection, a Gears of War trilogy collection. Obviously, the original's already been remade anyway. But where do you guys come down on Gears? I think, Dirk and you, well, I know you're a huge fan.
Yeah, I love Gears. It's like one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
Aww. You know that.
I can feel the love.
Yeah,
he's
like
got a Lancer.
They could do the thing that the Master Chief Collection did in Remake 2 and then include that and just like remaster 3, so they're not like upgrading it. But yeah, I think like we haven't really heard anything from the Coalition for like since, I guess they worked on Halo Infinite a tiny bit, but other than that, I think they've had a couple of games scrapped. We need to hear something from them. We need something, whether it be Gears 6 or this collection thing. Like, I think people are clamoring for this collection because everyone likes the original games, and it worked for the Master Chief Collection eventually. But yeah, they need to show something.
I don't know whether with Gears, because like Gears 2 was when they first brought Horde mode in, and I have such beautiful memories of going through all 50 waves of that thing. And I don't know if you bring that back and you make the online portion of it as buttery smooth as can be, and maybe that's like your way of just having an omnipresent version of Gears that's always like available. And if you change the way that things launch off the main menu and things like that, and
you
just have a Gears launcher.
The originals at like 60 frames per second and stuff, but there's no one playing them because it's from 2008. Like, bring it back, update the graphics, and yeah, just let we play Gears the originals again.
I would want in Gears 5, like they started adding like more maneuvers over cover, like they make it more smooth for you to leap over or grab an enemy on the other side and stuff like that. I would want those mechanics put into Gears 2 and 3, because like as much as I adored, and like I largely do still adore Gears, when you go back to 2 and 3, it's very noticeable that they were like some of the earliest cover shooters ever, and they don't have any of the advanced mechanics that like the competition would do.
Yeah, I have nothing else to contribute on this other than that I love those original games.
Yeah.
And again, like obviously they've been a consistent-ish presence across the previous two generations.
Mm-hmm.
It shocks me that that's not as big as it should be.
Like, yeah, weird, like
it should be the big thing.
Yeah,
like, well, Xbox shouldn't have to have Call of Duty. Mm. Like, it should be able to make Halo and Gears these big things.
That's a really good point. The fact that they've just kind of they've had to buy their way back into the top brackets because of how badly they've nurtured or maintained Halo and Gears.
With Gears 5, it was the same on launch as Infinite was. Like, there was hardly any content there, and I think people just dropped off it. Like, they just tried to milk you for your money, and it's like
you didn't want Sarah Connor in the Terminator.
And also with Gears. Gears 5 ended with like a split decision. Spoilers, I guess, if you haven't played it. So one of the characters dies. You have to choose either JD or Del.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think they know what they're going to do with that in Gears 6?
I always loved that in the moment because I was like, they don't know what to do with JD. He was very much made as like an answer to the quippy Sony protagonist. Yeah. And like, that's what he was in Gears 4 and everyone hated it. And then in Gears 5, they were like, okay, let's break him like as a character. Let's absolutely just kick him into the dirt and then have you as the player decide if he should live or not. And I was like, okay, they're clearly just going to read that player data and be like, what do people actually want to do with him? So I think that was, I assume that's their plan. And then they can just say, well, we just looked at what people wanted to do.
Yeah.
And they just go, just wash their hands of the whole thing.
Who did you choose curiosity, to kill?
I don't even remember at this point. I think I let JD live because I was just like, well, it's Marcus's son, and I felt bad for Marcus. So I was just like, and I love all the stuff they do with Marcus and JD, and just like big kebab legged dudes hugging is always gonna be something I'm up for. So
I'm just interested to see what they do with Gears going forward, and I hope they can salvage it.
I think there's a way that you can have like a liquid butter, very responsive third person cover shooter that is super about playing the angles game, like what online Gears was. Do that, steer into that, and like put all the resources in the right place. Whether we'll get that is a whole other thing. Speaking of maybe not ever getting something, is the Perfect Dark remake, reboot, whatever that is, the first ever quadruple A game as it was described, but apparently that game's in development hell. So there's a whole thing with that where apparently they've never actually been able to decide on what that should be, because whether it should be third person or first person or whatever. There was a whole report over on, I think it was Bloomberg, but also it was doubled up on Kotaku, talking about how many staff have left that project and how they cannot nail down what their living F Perfect Dark is in the modern day. So do they address that head on? Is there actually something to allay those fears? Are those reports outdated, etc.?
If it's all going to be gameplay, then surely we don't have anything. This is why I think we need new things announced, like that's coming soon, so we've got stuff to look forward to, so things like this is less of a blow.
I mean, the thing is with Perfect Dark, like that was a phenomenal game in the late 90s that was like specifically beloved because it was playing off GoldenEye's fandom, because it was Rare, and then I mean Rare the dev, not that it was a Rare genre, but it kind of was, I guess, in the 90s. But still, like that cachet you're cashing in on is like so generation specific. Like we talked before about, like,
it comes back to that generational fandom. Like, what is Perfect Dark to the majority of people with an Xbox now?
A cool
I think
name.
It's interesting because Xbox to me, like with the whole backwards compatibility thing, the thing that I think they should do best to lean on is the idea is, like, when you have Xbox, you're buying into a family. I don't mean that in like corporate family speak. I mean, like, if you're in an
Vin Diesel family,
you can be familiar. You can ride or die with us. You can play all your OG Xbox games, your 360 games, your Xbox One games, all the way through on this family of consoles. And it's not a faff. It's not difficult to achieve. Mm-hmm. Cough, PlayStation. And it's simple and effective. That, in my view, would have like made a new Perfect Dark game make more sense.
Well, they're so close to that. Like they are by far, out of the three, if we talk about Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, they are by far the best at giving you a library of games from the past few decades. Nintendo's a close second. Like, obviously, you've got, if we're comparing libraries, Nintendo's is better.
Can we get the Game Boy games on Switch, please, Nintendo?
Well, they got original Game Boy and Game Boy Advance now, but like,
I want Pokemon.
I was going to say, they need to add like Pokemon and stuff. But yeah, that whole idea of like you just said, Ewan, like giving you your own history, playable, 4K 60, whatever, just works. Like, that that whole Todd Howard thing, if it just works. why is that not so easy? And they've steered in that direction for so long. And I think they've largely done it. It's just that they need to make it part of their identity.
I was going to say, because the thing that about going back to Game Pass, Game Pass to me is antithetical to that line of thinking. Because even though it's giving you a nice buffet of things to try, it doesn't intimate that this is your library that you curate and it's yours and you've had it for decades almost in a way. Which again, you could argue is maybe prohibited to newer gamers because it's the idea of like, oh, you've been with Xbox for so long, why would I jump over there if its main focus is on looking after people who had an old Xbox? Which by the way, when we were kids and playing the OG Xbox, 20 years prior, it was like bloody old machine ghost game. So I totally, like, it is history.
Yes.
So it's just such a weird, like, mess of contradictions to my head what Xbox is right now.
Phil Spencer said in that kind of funny interview when he was talking about, oh, we're in third place kind of thing, but that's where we are. He was like, they lost the most important generation, the PS4, the Xbox One generation, because that was when everybody built their digital libraries. And that's like, arguably true, but I think that like the thing you just said there, Ewan, is that Xbox history goes back to the start of Xbox Live in terms of the accounts that we've had and the data that's been tracked. Like, you could easily pull from that. You're going to go back to like 2006 or whatever and just say like, and here's your personal library, Spotify Daily Mix style, and give you access to all that stuff.
Do you want
to
play this game today? Throw up a suggestion.
If you give me Brute Force randomly, I'll take it. Whenever that is, I'll take it. But yeah, I think in terms of Perfect Dark, I'll be amazed if that thing is in a better state than the various reports painted as.
I think they should just reboot it like God of War style, just like just totally overhaul the gameplay and stuff like that, and just make it like a story based thing.
I would take like a way older, like retired Joanna Dark doing that, like the old Sam Fisher style training a new agent or something like that.
Just change it up a bit.
Yeah, it gives it new life. I think literally with this, it's because, like I said, it was a massive deal in the 90s, and it's a little bit synonymous with Xbox because it was a 360 launch game as well. But I think it's just a cool name. I think at some point, it's just executives going, like, it's a cool name, Perfect Dark.
It's a
like,
cool name.
People kind of know that name.
No one's disagreed about the name.
The name is locked in. Okay, let's talk about some specific stuff that we want to see just to round things out. We have one pick each. Starting with the Indiana Jones game from Machine Games. Ewan, this is your pick.
This is like the one game that has the potential to convince me to buy a new Xbox console. My whole strategy recently has been I'm going to wait for the Xbox One to come down in price and get that, and then I can have HD gaming on my OG Xbox because I have one of those SCART HDMI adapters to play OG Xbox games on my TV, but it doesn't look perfect.
Right.
And I have a bunch of old Xbox 360 games as well, so having the Xbox One to play that backwards combat library and have that be my backwards compat time machine, as it were.
You can play Halo 3 again.
Is the most economic thing, because the Master Chief Collection is on there as well. That's the most economic sense to me. However, I am a simple man. I love seeing Harrison Ford in a fedora punch Nazis in the face.
Yep.
So if this new Indiana Jones game is good, and they show some gameplay of it, I'd be so hyped, because the last AAA Indiana Jones game we got was cancelled. I remember back, I don't know if you remember this, Scott and Dan, back in 2006, 2007, when they were first, LucasArts were first showing off Euphoria and Havoc and Force Unleashed in its early stages. They also revealed a Indiana Jones game, which became the Staff of Kings for the Wii.
The one where he's fighting on top of the bus.
He's fighting on top of the San Francisco tram.
Yes. Yeah.
And I remember being like 11, like logging onto the internet, looking at that and be like, wow. Wow, this looks amazing. And I have such fond memories of like the older Indiana Jones games as well. It's wild to me that even though Star Wars has been such an ever-present force in this medium, Indie comparatively has not been, even though he has a lot of good games. So if they get this right, long way to say, I want an Indiana Jones game. I want it.
It's worth remembering, or pointing out rather, for anyone who doesn't know, like Lego Indiana Jones and the other one, the 360 one, they're both on Xbox Marketplace. I mean, so you can play them.
Lego
right
Indiana
now.
Jones is the best Lego game.
Oh, that's a bold claim.
It is a bold claim. Lego game.
It's Lego 2K drives pretty good. Just saying. 2023 and with the last minute choice. But yeah, Indy feels like something that I'd forgot they were even doing that until you mentioned it this morning. Yeah. But that is Machine Games, in theory, their next game, although they are overdue for the next Wolfenstein as well. So Machine Games are part of the discussion at the minute as the various devs that will assumedly be at the showcase. So they should have something to show. I guess we'll see. Durkin, you had the return of classic Guitar Hero.
Yes, well, with all the Activision stuff going on at the minute, we're probably not going to get this, but like, I want Guitar Hero to come back, like original, just the guitar. You've got the 5 colour buttons and just a good soundtrack.
Okay.
There's also some stuff that I've got on my list. Hellblade 2.
Shout.
We've got Contraband. I want to know what.
I keep forgetting what Contraband is.
There was like a CG trailer a few years ago, maybe last year. I don't know.
We should touch on Helldead for a little bit because that game was one of the only games, even from a few years ago, that had gameplay. Like when they first showed off the Series X, it was like, look how unbelievable this looks.
This creepy giant.
Yeah, the creepy giant, Melissa Jurgens, like returning as Senua. Like that game that has the potential to be their Naughty Dog contender, at least to me. I think that the motion capture is incredible. It's just weird with Ninja Theory where they got out there a couple of years ago and just showed they were working on something else. And it was like, look at this. Like they were rendering their own kitchen in their office or something and it was lifelike. And I was like, okay, but hell, you're not doing the Hellblade? Because that
did
was
you
the,
see
thing?
The thing with the where they were on stage and they were taking pictures of someone's face and they were literally animating that face.
Yeah, that's apparently
it was crazy.
Yeah, that's apparently the tech that is used to make the cutscenes or whatever in Hellblade, where they just
so
act
good.
It. Yeah, like a theater performance, and it just digitizes it, which is really cool.
Yeah, so Hellblade with Xbox are kind of partnering with Riot, so maybe we'll see League of Legends on console.
League of Legends stuff is flying at the minute. Like the Arcane's obviously like one of the best TV shows of the last few years. 100%. There's a new League of Legends game. I don't know if it's on other consoles, but I saw it on the Switch top 10, like a side-scrolling thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's a lot of little side projects that keep getting released.
Uh-huh. And my last thing is State of Decay 3.
Overdue.
Is it going to be open world, like open world MMO, like because of the promise, this big massive game, like and I've been getting bang into State of Decay 2 recently, so it's like show us some gameplay of this.
Mm-hmm. Plus Undead Labs are like one of those, when they got bought, it was like that's a really good get because State of Decay came out of nowhere and to a lot of people like is the definitive zombie game.
Yeah.
I feel like 2 launched in such a gross state, but
it's
did
good
get
now.
There.
Yeah. It is good now. It spends so many hours in this game. Mm-hmm. I just want to see a bigger game, better graphics, and more like multiplayer components. Mm-hmm. Like show us some gameplay too.
The patented Stubbs the Zombie DLC.
Oof, bring it in. Let me roll my head at some men. My one for what I want to see is overall, it's Double Fine. I just want to see what Tim Schafer and Double Fine are doing. I cannot shout out enough the I can't even think what it's called, Psych Odyssey. It's the making of Psychonauts 2 that's over on the Double Fine channel. If you want a literal fly on the wall insight into literally how a game is made from a napkin sketch to the end product, it is one of the best documentaries doing the rounds. But yeah, that's on their official channel. And in the middle of that is all the pandemic stuff. They had to recut the course correct. Also in the middle of that is them getting bought out by Xbox and how that affected everything. And obviously, you know, Tim Schafer was one of the first people to come out on stage a few years ago and say during the Xbox, the Series X announcement stuff that they were going to be part of Xbox going forward. So they've had a couple of years to put some stuff together and I'm curious what that is. My dream, if I single it down, my dream is Brutal Legend 2 because that's dreamlike. That game was completely mishandled by EA back in the day. It was completely mismarketed. I hated it when it first came out. I loved the opening level, like everyone else did.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it became this top-down RTS thing, I was like, what the hell is this? That's not what I was sold. But having gone back to that game during the pandemic and just take it as its own merits, it's genuinely one of my favorite games. I think it's incredibly well-made. It's so much heart and soul. I love all the soundtrack's phenomenal. It just deserves so much more love, and it's entirely the fault of the marketing department because it should never have been marketed that way. And I think that because Tim Schafer loves metal and because he's been doing all these collaborations with Jack Black, you could easily do a Brutal Legend 2, and there's enough of a little cult classic fandom there that would spread the word, like I am right now.
I've got my fingers crossed for you.
Thank you. That's all I ask. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on stuff. We've got Summer Games Fest tonight on the day that we're recording this. This is Thursday. This will go live in the afternoon. And we'll just see what happens across the next few days. There's a lot of showcases. A lot of things doing the rounds.
Gaming, baby.
Gaming, baby. Gaming summer. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Goodbye. And then he said, howdy again. Bye.
Howdy doody. And Dan Durkin.
Bye.
Bye. We'll catch you next time.
Bye. Bye.
See ya.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.